Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It looks like we're having a few little issues with the technical things again, but I'd like to welcome you to Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. It is 7 o'clock on Monday night, and this is our usual place. Stay tuned, and we're going to have a great show for you tonight.
Thank you for tuning in. Dark Hollows Press has just released Cassandra Pierce's Vampire Lovers box set. This set includes The Professor and Her Vampire. Brooke Foster may realize her lifelong fantasy might not be impossible after all. The Vampire in the Mirror. While attending a business conference at a refurbished Victorian home, Maddie discovers an enchanted mirror that leads her to 1885. The Vampire in the Woods. When a young woman is abducted from her small New Hampshire town, rumors suggest that a vampire, or at least a criminal who believes himself to be one, is at work. The Vampire in the Castle. Though Sarah has spent years studying every inch of Castle Merrick, she is about to discover that its biggest secrets have yet to be revealed. Cassandra Pierce's Vampire Lovers, now available in this conveniently enticing box set. Leanne Tyler's newest release, A Letter, A Garden, A Journal, A Chance at Love, Secrets on River Road. Madison Franklin is called to Wyndham House in the late spring of 1920. Curiosity for a side of her family she knows nothing about draws her in and leads her deeper and deeper in unraveling the Wyndham past. She and her intriguing new neighbor, Connor Montgomery, become fast friends, and as their relationship grows, they discover more secrets on River Road than either could have ever imagined. Leanne Tyler's Secrets on River Road, available where all fine books are sold. And thank you for visiting Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We're glad you've joined us tonight here in the Dark Hollows Press studio. On the couch, Donna Wright continues with Romantic Times Convention 2016 author previews. This week, we're featuring authors Heather Graham and Christy Craig. Mallory Kane will be here with news and info from the romance and publishing industry. All that and more tonight on Hummingbird Place, brought to you by Dark Hollows Press. I'm Jackie DeVera, and now your accomplished August anchor, Donna Wright.
And I always want to know, and I'm going to write down every one of the things that she has called me, and I'm going to look them up to see if they really do mean something nice. So, let me just kind of start off with this.
And now the latest about romancing the Smokies.
And with me right now is Mallory Kane. And Mallory, we're going to be talking about Romancing the Smokies for just a few minutes. You were there, weren't you?
I was there. And I
You were literally
report.
There. You were
literally
there.
I was
there.
Literally right there. Yes. And it was fabulous.
Would you go so far as to say it was fabuloso?
Let me say that it was fabuloso.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. It was
fabuloso. Oh,
well,
fabuloso.
Would you like to hear something else that's going to be fabuloso?
I can't wait. Tell me. What?
We are going to do Romancing the Smokies next year.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I have. I am over the moon. I am so excited.
Are you literally over the moon?
I am literally over the moon.
Well,
literally.
I am so glad that you are. Let me tell you a little bit about it while we've got some time. We will be meeting again at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee on March 18th, 2017. I hope everybody who joined us last time will join us, and I hope we'll have a few newbies.
Oh, that sounds great. I do.
And what about
you, Mallory? I hope everybody
will
be back.
Mallory, will you literally be back to Romancing the Smokies?
You know I will. I will be there. I will not be square.
Well, I believe that. You did a wonderful, wonderful job as the MC.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was fun.
We did have a good time. We really did.
Yes, we did. Yes,
I would venture to say, and I would even venture to say, we literally had a good time.
We literally had a fabuloso time.
Well, I'm putting together the sponsorships, and I'm hoping that everybody will be kind of on the lookout on Facebook and at romancingthesmokies.com so authors can see what they're doing and readers, reviewers, and bloggers can also join us. And I'm not sure yet exactly what everything's going to be, but I can tell you that it's not going to be a whole lot more than it was last time, and we're going to have more things to do.
I can't wait to hear some of the things, because if it is even as good as it was this year, it will be great. It will
be so
much fun.
I also think so. So, why don't we go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room?
Okay. That is a big elephant, I got to say.
Yeah. Well, his name is George, and he's got a nice little trunk and a cute little tail and great big ears, looks like Dumbo, like he's going to fly. No, we want to go ahead while I've got time, since my 7 o'clock is not here yet, to tell everyone that this is the final curtain for Hummingbird Place.
Oh, you're going to make me cry.
Well, that's one reason why I brought you inside and didn't put you out in the gazebo. It's a little chilly. It's a little chilly out there, and I didn't want you to start crying and getting upset.
My tears would just freeze.
I know, and we didn't want that.
It really is bad, I do have to say. Although it has been a wonderful run, a great run.
A lot of people don't realize we've been doing this for 2.5 years.
Wow. I'm not sure I realized that. 2.5 years.
Yes. 2.5 years.
That is great. Wow.
Yes.
That's a long time, Donna.
It is a long time. We've missed very few Mondays. I did miss a Monday one time because I was having a colonoscopy the next day. I won't tell anybody I won't tell anybody why we missed it, since it was the next day, but those who have had colonoscopies, they understand.
Yes, we do.
So, would you like to talk a little bit? Go ahead and do your news and
about
talk
about colonoscopies? No.
No,
not
about that.
No. I don't want to talk about colonoscopies.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. Be cool.
Well, I'm cool.
Stay calm.
Cool. I got some wine. I'm having a drink.
Okay.
Having a drink of it.
All right. Now, once you've had a drink of your wine, if you have any romance news you'd like to share, please go ahead and do so at this time.
I do not have any romance news I'd like to share, except for some rather personal romance news.
Oh, are we
by
getting
which
romance?
I mean, I spent the last week in Lansing, Michigan, with a friend of mine, a writer friend of mine, and we have been writing a book together for like 20 years.
Oh my goodness!
And we spent And we spent this past week finalizing and putting together the first book. And we are pretty sure that it's going to be able to be released in September. And it's a fantasy. It's actually an angel book of sorts, and we're very excited about it. So I do have that. Now, I'm looking around to see what I can find, and I do have a bit. Apparently, writer Jim Harrison, the author of Legends of the Fall,
mm-hmm.
has died in the past week or so.
He was 78. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But as far as any much else, I'm afraid I do not have too much tonight. I was expecting a full slate tonight, and just
yes.
to get to talk about Hummingbird Place.
I know. Now that's made me want to whine.
Well, you just go right ahead. No, it has been such a wonderful show,
mm-hmm.
and a great ride for me as the news anchor. You know?
I've really appreciated all that you've put into it, Mallory. I really do.
Well, of course it wouldn't have been even anything without you. It was only a radio show because of you. And it has been so great, and a lot of wonderful people showing up to talk about their books and to talk about what was going on for them. And
mm-hmm.
that only translated right to the Romancing the Smokies conference, where we got to meet quite a few of the authors who
mm-hmm.
either had been on or had been featured in an ad and that sort of thing, and had the best time there. And now we're going to get to do that again. So
yes.
that's something to look forward to.
It is something to look forward to. I'm just really excited to start putting things out there and asking people to, you know, whether or not they want to come and what they want to do. So I can I can tell you that there were some things that did not go quite as well as I had hoped last year, and I have figured out ways to correct that. And so, for instance, last year when we had the catalog did not turn out like we had hoped, but next year I've already got some ideas to really fix that. And then also the program didn't turn out quite like I had hoped, but I'm promising everyone that next year will be much better because I have found ways to fix that. And so, you know, there's always that first year when you're really not sure what's happening and what you're going to do, but next year at Romancing the Smokies, I believe that we're going to be right on.
Well, I know that you will, and as a matter of fact, the fact that a couple of things didn't turn out like you had hoped was not really apparent. I thought
yeah.
the program looked very nice.
Well, thank you.
And so I wouldn't go too far in telling people what didn't turn out well, because it really doesn't show up that much. You wouldn't
yeah.
know. It'll just be better next year.
Well, we have our first guest, Heather Graham, is going to be with us here in just a moment. But I would like to
Yay.
Thank Mallory Kane for being here and for being our news anchor for the last 2.5 years. And just really appreciate you, Mallory. You take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. And we are on the air with the one and only Heather Graham. Heather, welcome to Hummingbird Place, our final show.
Oh my goodness! Your final show. Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
I'm actually in the middle of Disney World, so I'm in the happiest place in the world.
So you have to be happy, right?
There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, for Cece, who is Cece Hunter, who's listening, and Cece, we're going to come to you a little later, so just hang in there. Heather was just able to make it, and we definitely want to talk to her about her latest book, Flawless. Heather, tell us all about that. We're very excited to hear about it.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a lot of fun. It's the first straight suspense but it sounds funny no matter how you try to explain it these days. There are no paranormal elements in it. They're straight kind of like FBI thriller type novels, and
right.
they're all based on a place called Finnegan's on Broadway, which is a pre-Civil War pub on Broadway in New York City. And I'm using, quite honestly, a lot of my mom was born in Dublin, using a lot of family lore and legend and behaviors in this series. It's going to be a series. The second one is already in, which will come out next year, and I'm not sure yet what it's going to be called, because titles, amazingly, are one of the hardest things in the world to make sure that you're getting them as right as you can, and a
right.
lot of people get in on it. But it will be a series, and it's fun, and the protagonist is an FBI man, and the heroine is part owner with her brothers of the pub. Her parents have passed away, and now they are responsible for the pub, and they all love it. Means a lot to them. And she is also a psychologist working as a therapist for a pair of psychiatrists who deal with the law enforcement in New York City. And so she winds up helping him because of various things going on, but also because her brothers have a tendency, for the best reasons, to fall into criminal activity. So she's always kind of weighing the line between falling in love with this guy and having to be very careful about what she says because of her brother. So they're good guys. I mean, none of them are bad guys, but they always mean the best, but they do have a tendency to fall into things such as in accidentally stealing a diamond in the middle of diamond heist going on in the city and that type of thing. So hopefully they're a lot of fun as they try to, kind of weave their ways through the world around them.
Now, Heather, if I'm not mistaken, I heard you say there's a lot of family lore in this. So you must have had a really good time plotting this one out.
I did. And every once in a while I'm sad. It's funny because I recently, thank God for Facebook, because I recently reconnected with one of my cousins, and I didn't have that many. Because my grandfather, my dad's side, my grandfather was the only one who came over from Scotland. So pretty much they were gone pretty quickly. And on my mother's side, I just didn't have that many relatives either, because she just immigrated from Ireland. So I connected with my cousin Pat, who's really bizarre because his mother's Irish and his father's Italian. And, of course, my family, or I and my sister were basically Scottish-Irish from our parents, and I married an Italian. So it seems like it goes around in the family. But it's been great to connect with him, because I can ask him, am I really remembering all these things? Were they really this crazy? You know, or is this stuff I'm making up in my head now? And he's like, no, they're really that crazy. So it's fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. She had that when we would be left with my grandmother. I believe this might even be on websites, but she was so funny because she would watch my sister and I sometimes. And her threat would be, if you don't be behaving the bunch, you'd be getting in the outhouse. And we were old. Yeah, we were old by the time we figured out we didn't have an outhouse. So they were very good. They were very good. And it's funny because the first time I went over with my mom when I was a teenager, first time back to Dublin. And it was kind of rough because the IRA was very busy then. And I know we've since, I think most of the civilized world comes around to terrorism is terrorism is terrorism and doesn't really want to participate. And so things calm down. And I absolutely love Dublin and Ireland. But it took me a while to get back to it because the first time I was over there, there was so much violence. So really loving it now, really loving, my family, really loving everything that goes into it. It's been tremendous for me to work on this series of books. I also love New York City.
Now, you're writing these for Mira, right? Is that what you just said?
I'm writing these for Mira.
Oh, wow. Okay, that sounds wonderful. Now, tell me, one of the reasons you're on tonight is because you always, always attend and are a big part of the Romantic Times Convention. So why don't you tell us what
coming
you're
going
to be doing there?
tons of fun things. I'm actually... two of my really close friends, it's funny, they were theater majors in New York years and years and years ago. The one of them is still an entertainer in Las Vegas. The other one is actually an executive host for Harrah's. But they also, as long as I've known them, they have loved books. And they finally started their own company about 2 years ago. And small press, but they're doing really nice projects. And so on their first couple of nights, the Monday and Tuesday, they're taking tours around, and I will be going with them, and have kind of written a special little story for whoever's on the tour. So that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be on both of those tours, Monday and Tuesday. I think one of them is a pub crawl and one of them is more history. And then there's all kinds of things. I'm part of a historical party. And then the vampire party is actually Saturday night this year. And we have based it on the Bat Pack rather than the Rat Pack. And hopefully, you know, a little place where all of these denizens of the world can come hang out when they're in Vegas. And I've wound up reading so much history on Vegas, too, because it's just really a playground people created out of the desert. So it's super interesting and did have a lot to do with organized crime until big money came in. And I'm sure it's going to keep evolving, you know, onward and onward.
Right.
And, of course, I do love a good slot machine, so I wish I didn't.
You know, I have to tell you, I have a friend, and when we go on cruises together, she'll sit in that casino. And last time we went on a cruise together, get this, Heather, she cleared $700.
She cleared what?
$700.
I need to go play with her.
Yeah. And I kept doing what she was doing and just losing and losing and losing. And she said, no, you got to do it this way. You got to do it this way. You know, she's got her system and it works for her. And I hate that because she basically paid off most of her, you know how when you go on a cruise, you kind of have like a tab that runs.
Oh, that's right,
and,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so she paid most of hers off. And I'm going, okay, do I have enough on my credit card to cover this? You know, so the most,
exactly.
I was ever up, you know, the most I was ever up was I was up $120 at one point at the blackjack.
Oh, but, blackjack's fun. I have to say, I really enjoy craps too, but it was funny because one time when I was out there, I had gotten used to playing craps and it's kind of like, but I got to slow down. I don't want to be spending this much money.
Right.
And we found a craps table that was like 50 cents and all you had to do was, you know, your however many bets you needed, they were 50 cents. And we went and played for a while, but we kept getting lost because it wasn't an even number. You know, if you're used to figuring it out in the dollars, it was kind of like, okay, I guess we can't do this one either. So, but it's fun. I like the game. I like seeing how it goes. And I guess casino people say that that's probably the best odds you're going to get. Because the machines, I mean, you're either going to pick the right machine and sit down at it, and you're not. It's not like, it's truly not like you can have a, you know, better talent hitting a button, you know, than
right.
someone else. You might have a talent for picking the right machine.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The one thing I would never do is I would never try to go to Vegas or any casino and try to you know, beat the odds at poker or something like that, because I have absolutely no talent for those things.
I probably wouldn't either. I do think sometimes, and here's where I think sometimes you are better off if you're playing poker or one of those, because I don't know if you've noticed with slot machines, because I remember years ago when a penny machine actually kind of meant a penny, or you could play a penny a line, or at least there were only 10 lines, so you weren't playing a small fortune.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's kind of like most of the penny machines have 500 lines, and so you wind up spending a fortune each time you pull the little lever anyway. Which,
oh,
I mean, if you're playing craps or one of those, it takes them so long to clear the table, set it back up. And if you can find the 50-cent table and figure it out, then it's great. You can play for a very long time going back and forth. But here's another thing about the Rio for people who are going now, unless they've changed this, and I haven't been in a few years, but I don't think they've changed it. One of my favorite things is when you're in that Mardi Gras area, the servers, a lot of the waiters and waitresses are, you know, they'll come by and get your order, but then they also have these moments where they get to get up on their tables and they either sing or they dance. And I personally just love that, you know, especially because I started off in dinner theater and commercials, and I mm-hmm. always love to see it because there are so many incredibly talented people out there and usually only so many roles to go around. And I think this allows them all to make a nice living, and it also gives them a chance to show off their talent. So it's definitely one of my favorite things about the Rio, and something I hope that everybody attending will enjoy.
Well, that sounds like, I mean, just more fun than I've ever had.
Absolutely.
Like, but the only casino I've ever been in is that one. Now, let me ask you this, a little bit about your personal self. By the way, we are on the air with Heather Graham. Heather Graham has won everything possible, so let's just say it that way. She's New York Times and USA Today bestselling. Now, you have how many children?
Five.
Five children. How did you find the time to write with five children?
They are now grown up. In fact, one of them has just had his first child, and we're very excited. He's our first grandchild. And I have a nephew with three little ones, too, which has just been tremendously fun here at Disney with the whole, had all five children's spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, nephew's wife, all the kids and everything. It was really great. But I don't think I would have ever managed, I don't know. I mean, you know, success is always measured by our next project, you know, and how much we love it and whether we actually touch people or not. But I don't think I'd be able to actually write and concentrate and learn to really learn craft and discipline if it hadn't been for the kids. Because I know a lot of people who tell me that, no, the light has to be right. No, it has to be silent. No, it has to be this and it has to be that. And I'm really grateful to the kids because nothing bothers me. It's like a Dr. Seuss novel. I can write on a plane, on a train, in a car, going far. You know, it's like I think they were very good for me as far as really learning discipline and craft.
Well, Heather, we certainly appreciate you being here for our last show. Is there anything you'd like to tell your fans before you go?
Oh, I would like to say thank you, sincerely thank you. I think I'm absolutely privileged to do what I do for a living, and I actually don't mind criticism because you know where not to go the next time, or not that one can please everybody, you know, all the time. You're not going to do that, and you might as well, you know, just smack yourself because you're not going to do that. I never mind constructive criticism. Again, just so totally grateful that I get to do it and tell stories for a living. It's wonderful, so thank you.
All right, and that's Heather Graham. Heather, thank you again for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much, and hope to see a lot of you in Vegas.
I wish I could be there. I really do.
I wish you could, too.
Yeah.
Okay,
care. The one thing about the Romantic Times thing that I've always wished I could do is the Vampire Ball.
Oh, thank you.
That
we have a lot
like
of fun. We really do.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Heather Graham. Heather, again, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That is a very lovely lady, Heather Graham. I really have enjoyed the times that she has been with us. And we're going to just keep moving since we got kind of a late start. And I would like to introduce you to Christy Craig, also known as CC Hunter. Christy, welcome to Hummingbird Place. This is our final show, but we're very happy to have you and very excited to hear about the Romantic Times Conference.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay,
I hear a southern voice in yours. In your voice, I think.
Oh yeah, I live in East Tennessee.
Okay, well, I'm in Texas, originally from Alabama, so I have a little bit of the twang with the drawl.
Oh yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Christy, tell us all about Almost Midnight.
Almost Midnight is the anthology of five of the Shadow Falls novellas. It started out that they wanted a little novella and just to kind of introduce the series when I first started out, and I wrote one. And then down the road, I got this idea that I felt like I just had to write. I was actually almost on the end of the series, and I wrote Saved at Sunrise, which is a romance kind of action-packed little story about one of the characters that did not really get a romance during the first series, and that was actually what spun off, and then Shadow Falls After Dark, the next series, started. So I started writing these little novellas and just having fun with them, and I cannot write short. I'm so bad. You know, you go to sit down to write a novella, and before I realize it, it's a novel. And so all of my novellas were running long, and so I finally told my editor, I said, can we just put these in print? Because all of the readers were emailing me saying, I want the book. I want to hold the book. I want to have them all on my shelf. So it ended up after the last one was written, and it was 45,000 words. So my editor said, I think we can go ahead and go to print with these. And so she said, maybe one little something extra. And that little something extra ended up to be another 35,000-word novella. So there's actually five stories in there. And I loved writing the novellas because I was able to get into somebody else's head besides the main character. And so I feel like that this actually gives a reader that picks up these books will get the feel of what the Shadowfalls world is all about. And they actually get a little of the side stories. You know, some things that happen in the novellas actually do are talked about and because these characters experience them. So they reflect the novels a little bit. So it's a lot of fun.
It sounds like it. Now tell us how much fun you're going to have at the Romantic Times Conference.
Oh, I am looking forward to it. It is such a delight to go to a conference and have the readers there and, you know, to see the readers, and they're so excited to meet the authors. And I don't think they realize that authors are so excited to meet them as well. It's just really neat to go in there and talk to them and to be able to share a little bit about your characters and the readers want to meet us. They want to know, you know, who are you? Who's this person behind this book?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always interesting for them to get to know us. And sometimes I've had people say, you're just like I thought you would be. And so I figure that's, you know, I write a lot, you know, humorous, quirky, suspenseful kind of stories. So I'm not sure if that's a complete compliment, but I'll take it. So, but it's, they enjoy meeting us. The parties is so fun, the book signings, coming in, getting a book signed, picking up a bookmark. It's just, it's really, I think the readers enjoy doing this, that connection. And and as authors, we enjoy that connection with the readers. So it's just, and also there's just the parties. I mean, the get-togethers, so many, you know, so many different parties. I mean, everybody's always at the bar. You know, we're all having a drink and we're all sharing stories and talking. And you just see writers at each and every level. And it just is a party atmosphere. It's just so much fun to get together with everybody. And this year it's you know, extra special just because it is in Vegas. And I'm like everybody else, you know, put me in a casino. As a matter of fact, if I miss a panel, go look for me at, you know, at the roulette table.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy. And so we're going to have a great time. It's a party atmosphere. And it's Vegas, baby, so, you know, we'll have fun. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm enjoying, you know, going and meeting the writers as, you know, as CC Hunter, which is my name that I write under all my Shadowfall stuff, and I also write my Krista Craig books. So I've got two different series going. So, you know, there's the Krista Craig fans and the CC Hunter fans there, and so we're all excited, and this year I've got, you know, I've had a lot of good news. Shadowfalls, they're in the process of making some kind of a digital film for Shadowfalls.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really excited about that. I, you know, as always, you don't know how everything will pan out, but they have started, you know, getting the writers and having sample scripts written, and I've got to actually have a little bit of input on there. So I can't wait to see, if hopefully see it on the screen, and just get excited about, you know, the story. And, I mean, this series started out, it's going to be a three-book series, and right now I just finished putting out my ninth book, and I'm finishing the tenth one. As a matter of fact, I'm probably two scenes away from finishing the tenth book in the Shadowfall series.
Wow.
And so it's exciting. It's I've been with these characters so long. I mean, since, gosh, it's been like 6 years that I don't know what I'm going to do without them. I think about it, you know, and it, you know, I mean, it's nothing for my husband to come home to work from work and me look up at him and say, you'll never believe what Kylie did today. You know, I mean, these characters are real to, you know, and they become a part of your world. So it's, I feel like some friends of mine are going to be moving away. I'm not going to lose them because they'll forever be there, but I feel like they're moving away. So, and what's next? you know, we'll see. I mean, and I would never say I'd never write another Shadow Falls book, but right now the 10th one that I'm working on now will probably be the final book. So, and like
now
I said,
now tell us about the Christy Craig part of your persona.
Oh, the Christy Craig part of my persona actually came before the C.C. Hunter. So I was writing, started writing years ago, sweet romance, and boy have I evolved, because I actually sold a silhouette romance and couldn't sell another one, so I went and started writing for magazines and articles and decided, you know, my daughter graduated from college and I thought I want to go back to my first love, which was writing romance and writing fiction. And I thought I'd be a shoe-in real quick because by then I had one nonfiction book and probably close to 3,000 magazine articles and credits in my name. But no, I mean, it still took me years. I started writing, but in 2006, I actually sold 4 books, and they were all Christy Craig books. And I have, since then, I have put out probably 3 books a year. And I absolutely love it. The Christy Craig voice is a humorous, romantic suspense. A lot of people say Janet Ivanovich, but sexy, you know, because they are romance. And it's a lot of fun. And actually, it was that voice, that quirky, snarky kind of voice that landed me with St. Martin's Griffin writing the young adult. I wasn't writing young adult. I had no plan to write young adult. Rose Hilliard at St. Martin Griffin had read my work and had liked my voice, and she actually contacted my agent and wanted me to write a young adult. And she called me up, and I said, you know, Rose, I don't write young adult. And she said, you don't write young adult yet. And I said, I don't read young adult. And she said, you don't read young adult yet. And I said, I didn't read young adult when I was a young adult. And she said, I can't fix that one. But you can do this. And I asked her, I said, why? Why do you think I can do this? She said, Christy, that one's easy. It's because you're a smart aleck. Only she used that other A word. And she said, teens love smart alecks. And I told her, I said, my mama told me that was never going to get me anywhere in life. And she said, well, your mama was wrong. And I tell you, I have fallen in love with writing teens. I'm very fortunate that I have readers that across the board. You know, from basically, I think of my youngest reader I've heard from is 9, and my oldest is 93. So I have a broad range of readers for my paranormal series, The Shadow Falls. And because I write it, you know, and one of the things they said was, don't change your voice. We want that voice. So basically what I've done is gone into the head of some 16-year-old and try to figure out what was important to them. And amazingly, you know, because I'm no longer young, but amazingly what I discovered is the same issues that teens deal with today is what we dealt with what I dealt with when I was young. It's sex, mm-hmm. drugs, alcohol, and peer pressure. And mm-hmm. those things are, you know, what every teen faces. So it was a lot of fun, and it was a journey. I mean, gosh, you know, talk about, you know, something that is actually both heartwarming and scary is really taking a trip back down memory mm-hmm. lane to your teenagehood and remembering these things. And I don't know about you, but I hated being a teen. And so one of the things I knew I was going to do right away is the number one rule that you're not supposed to do was plagiarize. And what I did was plagiarize on my own life. You know, every issue, the difficulties, my parents getting a divorce, a family member dying, a girlfriend getting pregnant, another friend, you know, getting on drugs, all those issues that I dealt with as a teen, I gave them to my character. You know, my character is only half human, and I'm pretty sure I'm all human. But other than that, I borrowed a lot of the same problems that I use and just put them in the book. And yeah. You know, it was fun. I connected, and, you know, the teens, you know, read it and loved it. And then all my readers from Christy Craig went over and they, you know, picked them up and were enjoying the same. It's the same voice. So I'm very fortunate to have 2 sets of readers and writing in 2 different genres.
Well, I'll tell you, I would love to write young adult, but when I do, it sounds more like the Brady Bunch.
You know? I mean, that's just it. It can't be the Brady Bunch. You know, I mean, it's real life. I mean, unfortunately, these teens and what they deal with, it's hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so much that they go through. And, I mean, like I said, when I remembered my teenage years, I mean, I hated them. And I, you know, I went back to feel and to remember the angst. And,
mm-hmm.
and feel so, you know, you have no control over your life. You know,
right.
none. You know, parents right. tell you what to do. Teachers tell you what to do. You know, if parents decide they're moving, they don't ask you. They get a divorce, they don't ask the kids, hey, how do you feel about this? You know,
right.
nothing is in control. You're not in control of nothing in your life. So you're this, you know, and yet you're coming upon this adulthood where you're trying to make all these decisions, and usually that's where the foundation of your life just starts, you know, shaking. And so figuring out who you are in this chaotic world that we live in, that's sort of the premise of all my books is, you know, who am I? An identity crisis when your world feels like it's falling apart. The fact that there's vampires, shapeshifters, and werewolves in my stories, I mean, that they're there. But 9 times out of 10, the problems that these characters deal with in the Shadowfall series is real life issues. It's about parents mm-hmm. getting a divorce. It's about a vampire getting changed and suddenly her parents noticing she's different and not wanting that and her not being able to tell them and explain to them, feeling like a monster. You know, who I am, what I feel inside, it's not acceptable in today's world. And this is what teens go through. So I
right.
enjoy doing that. And on the flip side, then I write my sort of the Christy Craig that's kind of sexy and I kill a few people. So
yeah.
I you know, I have fun with it.
Well, two of my closest friends, Lexi Witcher and Julie Alexander, both write YA. And, you know, I tell them I can't write it because of the Brady Bunch. But I have a very personal Gelman. And Gelman tells me that you were a riot in 2013 at RWA.
Oh, yes. You know, I tell you, I can get up and do a dog and pony show. And I love doing it. I did a short stint in stand-up comedy, and so I use that quite regularly in my talks. And people say, oh, you're never nervous. Yes, I am. I get the first laugh out of an audience, and as soon as they laugh, I'm okay. So I use humor a lot to hide my own nervousness, but once I get them going, then I'm fine. But I enjoy doing it. I enjoy talking to, and I really enjoy talking to other writers, too.
Right.
You know, this is a hard business.
It is. It's a very lonely business.
You don't realize, you know, a lot of times mm-hmm. your best friends end up being your characters, and that's kind of scary. But
and I'm just a little sad, to be honest.
But, you know, it's true, and it's, you know, but it's also this, I consider myself the most fortunate person in the world. When I, you know, I started out in this job, and I just read something that the average fiction writer makes around $12,000 a year. And right now, I can, you know, I'm making my living doing this and doing really well. And it's not, but, I mean, I paid those dues. I mean, I, for years, you know, my husband went and worked, and I made just enough to buy a new refrigerator if it broke, you know.
Right.
And it's a tough job, and the rejection you get, you know, it's hard. But
yeah.
if you love what you do, and that's what I do. I mean, I can sit here, I you know, my husband can come in. It's nothing for me to be sobbing or breathing hard because my character's running, and I'm trying to talk like they would talk so I can write it down. You know, I love what I do, and there's no amount of rejection that was going to stop me. I literally have over 10,000 rejection letters. Now, that's not just with my novels. It's also with all the articles that I started writing. So, but I'm just, you know, I'll do it. I just said, okay, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. And being dyslexic, I'm dyslexic, so nothing was easy. So that was kind of a, you know, why should this be easy when nothing
right.
else was? So I'm one of the unusual writers that most writers say, oh, I was born with a pen in my hand and they went to school to get an English degree or, you know, are masters in marketing, and I'm not one of those. I dropped out of school at 10th grade because I was dyslexic and it was hard. And it took me a long time. I was 23 before I realized that all those years that I was the loner and would go off by myself and make up stories was actually part of who I am. You know, I always thought I was thingless. Everybody else had music or sports or, you know, somebody else was on the debate team or somebody else was just excellent at math. You know, I felt like I had nothing growing up. And so I'd walk off and, you know, make up these worlds in my head and make up friends and romances and, you know, and that's where I would start. And, I mean, some of these stories would last months. I was writing books in my head by the time I was 11 years old. And I never even realized, I never dreamed of being a writer, never, because I was dyslexic, I couldn't spell, I couldn't, you know, that was something I wasn't going to do. And so when I finally decided, you know, admitted it to my new husband who wanted me to go to school and become a Spanish teacher, and I'm like, you want me to go back to school and then you want me to be in room with teens all day long? No, thank you. And so I admitted I wanted to be a writer, and he said, so write. And it took me a short 10 years before I sold my first book.
And became an overnight sensation.
And no, it took me another short 13 years before I sold the second book.
Oh, wow.
And then it took me 13 years, and then I started selling.
Right.
So it was, people think you're an overnight success. I want to ask them, which night of those 23 years was it?
Well,
you know,
I'll tell you, Christy, I know exactly what you're saying. I worked a long time before I ever got published, so I do understand. We are running a little long, so let me go ahead and just tell everybody that we've loved having you, Christy Craig, also known as CC Hunter, on Hummingbird Place for our final broadcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I enjoyed it, and I will see you in Vegas.
All right.
Not
take
you,
care.
But everybody else.
All right.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And that was Christy Craig, also known as CC Hunter. And now we're going to have on, and this is not something that happens a lot, but we have a gentleman on with us named Brendan Reichs. Brendan, welcome to Hummingbird Place and our final episode.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. It is a beautiful evening here in East Tennessee, and I've got my boogie-woogie beagle boy laying here at my feet and just talking to fabulous authors.
Well, I hope I qualify. You know, fabulous is a pretty tough act to live up to.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you know by the end of the interview. How's that?
That's fair. That sounds fair.
Well, now, first off, let's just go ahead and talk about the viral series and your latest novel, which is Trace Evidence. And
sure,
before we even do that, I want to talk about the elephant in the room. You have a TV show based on some of your books.
Well, it's not my books, but it's sort of a large universe. We have the Bones television show is connected to the series that I write, which is called Virals, which is also connected to a series my slightly more famous co-author and mother writes, Kathy Reichs. So those are the Temperance Brennan novels. Together, we write the Tori Brennan novels, which are the ones that I'll be talking about at RT this year. And then from those novels, the TV show Bones sprang from there.
Oh, wow. That is so exciting. How did you feel when somebody came to you and said, we're going to do a TV show based on this?
Well, I mean, it was pretty incredible at the time. It was, like I said, I think my mother's always had pretty amazing market timing. She came out with a forensic series in 1996, and that was a pretty good time to be writing those type of books. And then in 2006, Fox was really looking for a procedural show. They had just lost The X-Files, and they just didn't have anything that was sort of a week-to-week whodunit crime type show, and so Bones
right.
was sort of brought to them, and they were like, this is perfect, and so they picked it up and filmed a pilot, and we've been going for 12 seasons.
Well, that is absolutely incredible. I don't know what I'd do if somebody wanted to do something based on something I've done. That's just incredible. So now you've got this latest one out called Trace Evidence, and how is that one? Tell us a little bit about that one.
Sure. It's funny. The Viral series is five books. It's a YA series involving Tori Brennan, who's the niece of Temperance Brennan from the TV show Bones. And Terminal was the last full-length novel that just came out in paperback in March. And we were pleased with it, and at the ending, I did something which I realized that nobody liked. I ended the last line of the last book on a little bit of a cliffhanger, call it, just something sort of, oh, maybe, what could that be? Well, it turns out everybody in the world hates that, and then they get on their computer and write you nasty emails repeatedly telling you how much they hated that. So I was like, well, you don't like it to having a door left open for the future? And they were like, no, we hate that door, and now vicariously we hate you. So I decided that we would close that loop up a little bit, and we wrote a short story called Spike. We had three other viral short stories that have been floating out there for a few years, and so we bound them all together in Trace Evidence. So it's a collection of four viral short stories, including a brand new one, Spike, which is set 8 months after the events of Terminal. So please, if you're listening to this and you're super angry about how I left something slightly undecided in Terminal, I've answered it. It's in Spike. Stop sending me hate mail.
The best thing that you can do at this point is just start, like, burning incense and stuff to, you know, burning sage, you know, getting rid of all the evil spirits that people are casting your way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good kind of anger, you know. I mean, they're mad because they want more of the stories, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, now at least I have an answer. I can point to something. It's like, the answer is there. I'm so sorry. I answered the question. It's in this book. Please go get this book. I'll send it to you. Where do you live? Just give me your address,
yeah,
you know. So,
really?
It's been a lot of fun, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. Now, tell me a little bit about A Gentleman at the Romantic Times Convention.
It is a unique experience, I will not lie. I believe on the YA track I'm the only gentleman at Romantic Times. I think Scott Westerfeld was there as well last year, but he won't be making it this time, leaving me solo. But it's a lot of fun. I'm good friends with Cami Garcia, who helps organize the track, and I enjoy it every year. She sort of ropes me in to run some of the games, and it's just a lot of fun. And surprisingly, the Virals books are very popular. They're not just for young adults. We sell about as many books to adults as we do to young adults. So it was just a lot of fun. It's actually been a pretty good match. I enjoy it.
Well, as a young adult author, would you say that due to a couple of series, i.e. Harry Potter, Twilight, some of these series really touched adults? Do you think that helped to expand the young adult market?
Well, it certainly didn't hurt. I mean, that's absolutely true that people started reading these books across all ages. But I think people are just sort of discovering that YA books really aren't particularly less complicated or emotionally intense than adult books. But what they are is plot-driven. There's a lot mm-hmm. less time spent on setting and a lot of things that in adult books you have a lot of different variables you have to deal with that just simply aren't present in young adult books. So they can flow a little bit faster. The characters are typically dealing with something for the first time, so there's emotional charge in most YA novels because it's typically about discovery, and I think people just relate to that. I would, you know, hesitate to say they're any less complicated than adult books, but I do believe that they're much more plot-focused and much more into the characters than perhaps some of their adult contemporaries.
Well, I know that I had not really read anything that was young adult until I read the Harry Potter series. And I think it's a wonderful thing that Harry Potter and to some point, in my opinion, Twilight kind of opened that up for adults because they're thinking, look how great this book is. Oh, here's another young adult book. And it's about, you know, a private eye, or it's about this, or it's about that. And I think that, as adults, we're starting to see, like you said, the young adult, the way they're written is a lot of fun.
Well, they're fast reads, typically, mm-hmm. and they're shorter reads, typically, and those are
right.
sort of appealing just to the way society's evolving these days. I think you're right with the Harry Potter books in that those books actually kind of grew up with their first generation of readers because
right.
Harry was getting older as these people were getting them. So by the time you got to sort of the high school years, his last years in, you know, at Hogwarts, you had people that were coming along with those books, and so they were sort of graduating naturally into reading them. So I think that actually was a big effect, and sort of people stuck with the series. And then, you know, they started reading other books, and people say, hey, you like this one? Here's another one that'll be great. So, you know, I think it definitely
yeah.
is. People are, you know, as pop culture kind of grows, where people that are in their 40s are absorbing the same culture that people in their, you know, that are 15 are, I think the books is just like an extension of that.
Oh, absolutely. That's a good way of saying it, actually. Now, what is next for Brendan Reichs?
Oh, I'm currently working on a solo YA series called Nemesis. I'm actually have been in final revisions hell for the last 3 weeks trying to get a copy out the door. So if I fall asleep on the phone, I apologize for that. But it's been one of those crazy weeks. But it's a story about a 16-year-old girl who has a very unique problem in that she's been murdered 5 times by the same person every 2 years on her birthday, but she wakes up in a field about an hour away unharmed every single time. So she's trying to figure out how that could possibly be happening to her. And that's about all I can give away now. But it's a thriller. There's a lot of romantic angles to it. But it's essentially, you know, sort of a government conspiracy thriller set in a small Idaho mountain town.
Now, being a gentleman, when you say it has romantic elements, are we talking only physical or are we talking physical at all?
Oh, well, you know, you have to toe a line in YA, but certainly not just physical, also the emotional aspect. It's funny, people always ask me about the romance in the Virals books, and they're certainly there. You know, our main character is a 14-year-old girl, and she happens to have 3 boys that are her best friends. However, I always have to point out that, you know, I wrote the 5 Virals books with a co-author who happened to be my mother. So there became
right.
a point where we weren't exactly writing romance, physical romance scenes. You can imagine how those meetings would go as we plotted them out and discussed where his hand would fall and how her head would tilt. That just wasn't going to happen all that much in the Viral series. But we did finally in the 5th book, you know, we'd punted a lot of her emotions down the road. You can always take a young female character and have her just not deal with the things around her. That's one of the ways you can work around the awkward situations. But that only works so long. So in the last book, Terminal, there's certainly a lot of that finally comes to a head. But it was an interesting experience writing it with my mother.
I need to go, but I've got to ask this. What made you and your mother decide to write together?
Well, you know, it was just something that fell in our laps. I was an attorney, and I'd been practicing for about 3 years, and I absolutely hated it and was looking for literally any other job, but I'd always wanted to write a book. And I had a chance meeting with an assistant from a publishing house who thought maybe a spinoff series from the TV show Bones involving teenagers would be a good idea. And it kind of all fell together from there. We decided to write it together, and 6 books later, we didn't murder each other, so I suppose that's a win.
I think that's a win-win situation, actually.
It's been great. It's been a great launch into publishing, and it was just a lot of fun. I'm definitely ready to move on. I wouldn't say every day was a joy carnival, but we managed to make the donuts and ultimately not strangle each other.
I think that's wonderful. Brendan, this is our very last show here on Hummingbird Place. We've decided that it's time to move on and go back to writing instead of working on Hummingbird Place, but I want to thank you so much for being our final guest.
Well, thank you. That makes me both proud and sad at the same time. I feel like I've both made something beautiful and killed it at the same time.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I have loved, loved, loved talking with you, and I hope that when you see me out on Facebook or something, you'll say hello.
Certainly. Just to flag me down. At me.
I'll do it. I will absolutely do that. Ladies and gentlemen, Brendan Reichs, he writes with his mother, Kathy Reichs. They have so much to do about the Bones TV series, which is absolutely amazing. His last book was Viral Series, Trace Evidence. We're so excited that he was here with us. Please hang around for just another few minutes. I have some things I'd like to tell you before we go this evening.
Passion. I love it. I'm betting you do too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passions worth staying up all night for.
Well, this is it. And I would just like to say some thank yous before we sign off for this last time here at Hummingbird Place. First, I'd like to thank Sandy Sullivan and the former Secret Cravings Publishing Group. They got us started, and we enjoyed working with them. They were just absolutely fabulous. Sandy would call her and say, we need to do this, and she'd say, well, go ahead and do that. And or, you know, can I do this? And she was like, yeah, go ahead. You know, just very easy to work with. when Secret Cravings Publishing ceased to exist, Dark Hollows Press with Shannon West and Michelle Williams, they moved right in and started sponsoring us, and I can't thank them enough for that. It's been some fun, and I've really enjoyed having some of their authors with us. I've especially enjoyed Shannon herself. Shannon West is a fine lady, and I love doing business with her. I would like to thank my own personal Gelman, Leanne Tyler. Leanne's books are available. We're on Amazon.com, and I think you would be very pleased to buy her books and have them in your library. She's a wonderful author. Also, I would like to thank my friend Mallory Kane, who does our news every week, and she has done a wonderful job with that. Thank you so much, Mallory. I would like to thank Jackie DeVera. Jackie is our production manager, and she has done a wonderful, wonderful job, and I can't tell you how much I have appreciated her talents. I would also just like to say that we use all of our music comes from Incompetech.com, and we're supposed to announce that every time we use the music. It is a royalty-free music, but they do like for us to announce that. Of course, I have to thank my Boogie Woogie Beagle Boy for being my own personal assistant. That's Bebo, and he is Bebo the Wonderhound, of course, as everybody knows. I really don't know how to say goodbye, so I will just say this. If Plan A doesn't work, there's 25 more letters in the alphabet, so just keep moving. And if you're an author, never give up writing. If you're a reader, remember the best way to help the authors that you love is to give them positive reviews at Goodreads and on Amazon and other review sites so that other people will learn about them. We are going to do another Romancing the Smokies in March of 2017, and I hope that you'll go to romancingthesmokies.com and keep up with that. But for now, my name is Donna Wright, and you have listened to the final broadcast of Hummingbird Place, Your Home for Romance. Good night, sweet dreams, and I wish you all the best. Thank you.